Amen. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles with you, invite you to turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. And we're going to be starting in verse 19 and reading through the end of the chapter, verse 30. So we've been going through Philippians for a while now. And Paul's been giving us a great example of Christ's humility that we've been going through in chapter 2. And all of a sudden he gets to this point where he's talking about a couple individuals, Timothy and Epaphroditus. And that's our scripture today. My focus specifically is going to be on Timothy today. So if you would please stand for the reading of God's word. Again, Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 19. This is the word of the Lord. It's inerrant, it's infallible, and it is the Holy Inspired word of God. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered of news of you. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. They all seek their own interest, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father, he has served with me in the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me. And I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will also come. I have thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister to my need. For he has been longing for you all and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, near to death. But God had mercy on him, and not only him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I am the more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at the seeing him again, and that I may be less anxious. So receive him in the Lord with all joy and honor such men, for he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. Father, would you just speak to us now? May we learn from it. May we be edified by it, convicted by it, encouraged by it, Lord. And, oh Lord, would we see and hear Jesus? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we live in the great age of social media. See, Olivia, I told you I was going to talk about social media today. We live in the age of social media and self-promotion, don't we? Personal branding, of course, has become an art form. We have these influencers now that dominates the culture and dominates our screens. And if we're really honest with ourselves, many of us have gotten caught up in this very much exhausting cycle. We scroll through and we're flipping through with our fingers, and we're seeing these very carefully presented, curated lives. You know, they're comparing our behind the scenes, and then we end up comparing our behind the scenes struggles with what looks like their perfect lives and their highlight reels. We start measuring our worth by likes. We start measuring them by how many shares they have or the comments that people post on it. Have you felt this before? That nagging sense that despite being more connected than ever, we're really actually more alone. We're lonelier than ever before. And yet social media has this great promise to us as a community, but so often delivers nothing but pure isolation. It encourages us to broadcast our very best moments while we hide our very deepest needs. We've been programmed to present ourselves as having it all together, that we're perfect, even when, especially when, we're very much so falling apart inside. Now, into this reality that feels so modern of this, culture of social media, so uniquely it's to the 21st century, the Apostle Paul's words about Timothy strike us with a jarring force here. See, Paul's writing from a Roman prison cell around 60 AD. At that time, there's, if you can believe it, Olivia, again, there's no smartphones, no Instagram, no Twitter, no TikTok. None of that at all. And yet, Paul makes a statement that feels almost perfectly relevant to our time. He says, for they all seek their own interest, not those of Christ Jesus. Think about that. The very thing that drives so much of our online behavior, the self-promotion, the self-protection, the self-advancement that we try to create, that's exactly what Paul was seeing in his own day from the people that were around him. You see, human nature, it hasn't changed at all over the course of 2,000 years. All we've done is just found new ways to express our old tendencies. But today I want to introduce to you a young man who stood out in stark contrast to his generation. Not because he had the loudest voice in the room, not because he had the most followers, not because he had the biggest platform to stand on. Now, Timothy stood out because he possessed something that was rare then, it's even rarer now. Paul says he has a heart that is genuinely cared for others above himself. You see, while our culture trains us to ask, you know, what's in it for me? Or if I do this, how is it going to make me look? Or what am I going to get out of this? See, Timothy learned to ask completely different questions. His example challenges every one of us to examine our own hearts and to consider what it means to live counterculturally in a very self-obsessed world. Not just online, but more importantly in the offline world that we live in and day out. So the question is, what would it look like? I mean, what would it really look like if we used our platforms of whatever we have, to use our conversations that we have each day, to use our very lives to genuinely serve others rather than figure out a way to promote ourselves? Now you may be thinking, okay, Trip, here in this passage, Paul's just talking about travel plans. I mean, that's basically what he's saying, but why were we making such a big deal out of it? Why do we really need a sermon on Paul sending Timothy to the Philippians? But here's what I want you to see. Paul's travel plans aren't merely administrative updates. Timothy, as well as Epaphroditus, serve as living examples of the main thrust of this entire letter of Philippians. You see, it's a call of unity in the gospel through humble, other-oriented service. See, Timothy embodies what Paul's teaching us back in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Paul says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. So as we look at this passage together, I want us to see what Paul is really showing us through Timothy's example. He's giving us a blueprint, if you will. He's giving us a picture of what every church needs that's going to thrive in a very self-centered world. You see, Paul isn't just praising Timothy. He's identifying the type of people that make churches healthy and they make them strong. And Paul highlights three essential qualities that we're going to look like at that every church needs in its servants. Qualities that stand in stark contrast to our self-obsessed culture. And the first quality is this. The church needs servants with genuine concern. Paul makes a remarkable statement here in verse 20 about Timothy. He says, for I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. Now think about that. No one like him. That's what Paul said. Think of who Paul has worked with. He's worked with Barnabas. He's worked with John Mark. He's worked with Titus. He's worked with Luke. So many others. And he says of Timothy, I have no one like him. So what made Timothy so special? Well, it wasn't his preaching ability. It wasn't his theological brilliance. What made him irreplaceable was his genuine concern for others. Paul says of Timothy that he is like-minded. In your version of the Bible, some might say he's equal-souled or one-souled. And what Paul is saying is this, is that Timothy and I, being Paul, share the same heart. Timothy and I share the same passion. But notice what follows. Paul says that Timothy would be genuinely concerned for your welfare. Now that word genuinely means authentically. It means without any pretense. Timothy's concern wasn't manufactured for show. It wasn't the kind that asks, how are you, and just really doesn't care and doesn't even listen to what you're saying. I once knew two men who served in a church I was part of. The first was always the first to arrive at the meetings, always had his Bible marked up, knew all the right answers, but when families went through a crisis, that guy was nowhere to be found. The other wasn't the most eloquent speaker. He never spoke up during Sunday school to answer a question, but man, when somebody was hurting, when somebody was going through something, that guy was the first one there. He was the first one to put the time in to come alongside the individual day after day after day, week after week. His concern was genuine because it cost him something. That's what Paul saw in Timothy. Then Paul gives a stark contrast here in verse 21. He says, "For they all seek their own interest, not those of Christ Jesus." And here Paul is referring to the ministers in Rome of his time who were more concerned with their own reputations than they were with God's people. As I said earlier, we live in an age where self-promotion has become second nature. We create social media to showcase our best moments. We network to do whatever we can to try to advance our careers. And sadly, that self-serving spirit has crept and infected the church. I mean, how many churches that we know of have been torn apart by leaders who are seeking their own agendas rather than the spiritual welfare of the flock? So let me ask you directly, what motivates you? What drives you? Are you genuinely concerned for others? Genuinely concerned for their welfare? Or are you seeking out your own interest time and time again? You see, genuine concern isn't just an emotion that we have. It's a commitment that shows up in sacrifice. It means caring more about someone else's spiritual growth than your own convenience. See, when a church is filled with people who have a genuine concern for one another, that church, it becomes a magnet for the watching world. You see, people can spot the difference between religious performance and a heartbeat compared to genuine care. They can spot it a mile away. In any church, but especially even here as a church plant, we need people like Timothy. People who show up not to be served, but ready and willing to serve. So that's the first quality. The second is this: the church needs servants with proven character. In verse 22, Paul makes another remarkable statement about Timothy. He says this, "But you know of his proven worth, that he served with me in the furtherance of the gospel like a child serves with his father." That phrase, proven worth, is interesting and fascinating here. In the original Greek, it's used to describe putting something through very strong, rigorous testing to verify its authenticity. Think of how we go about testing a bridge before opening it up to traffic. You know, engineers don't just look at the blueprints and then go say, "Yep, looks good, go drive on it." No, they load it with weight, they stress every joint, they check every cable. Only after it proves it can handle the pressure do they declare it safe for public use. And Paul's saying to Timothy, he's been through the fire of testing. He's proven to be the real deal. You see, this was a man whose character was forged in the furnace of very real-world ministry. You see, Timothy wasn't a recent seminary graduate right out of the classroom. No, by the time Paul had written these words, Timothy had served alongside Paul for nearly a decade. 10 years of frontline ministry, 10 years of persecution, 10 years of hardship, 10 years of spiritual warfare. And Timothy had been with Paul when they brought the gospel to Europe. He was there in Philippi when Paul and Silas was in prison. Timothy witnessed what it cost to serve Christ faithfully. Timothy had been to Thessalonica, Berea, Athens, Corinth. He had seen churches planted and he had seen persecution arise. And here's the crucial point in all this. In the midst of all that, Timothy never quit. He didn't bail when things got tough. He didn't look for easier assignments when pressure mounted. While others like John Mark in his early days literally abandoned ship when ministry became costly, Timothy held fast. It reminds me of a pastor who served in a difficult church for nearly 20 years. He faced opposition from those who literally questioned his every single decision. There were nights when he went home discouraged, wondering if he should just go and find another calling. But he stayed. He persevered. He kept preaching faithfully. He kept loving on difficult people. He kept praying for his critics. And over time, even those opponents of him saw his character. And guess what? They became his strongest supporters. You see, that's what Paul saw in Timothy. Character that is tested, that is proven reliable. Paul makes clear in 1 Timothy 3:6 that a church leader must not be a recent convert. So why would Paul say that? Must not be a recent convert. It's because untested character is unreliable character. It's one thing to look all spiritual, but it's a whole different thing when the storms come and to test your faithfulness. See, God's testing, it comes, and it comes in waves at different times. And God's testing, it isn't cruel, it's necessary. You see, every difficulty, every season of hardship, every choice between the easy path and the faithful path, these are the greatest opportunities for character refinement, and God is using it. But proven character isn't just about enduring trials. Notice what Paul says as he served. He says, he served with me like a child serves with his father. Again, another word study here. The word serve means to slave. You see, Timothy served with devotion. He served with submission. Timothy was content to labor supporting Paul's calling even when his contributions were unnoticed. How countercultural, especially in the world we live in today. You see, we live in a world where everybody wants to be that lead person, the one that's recognized, the one with the name in the bulletin, the one with his picture or her picture all over social media. But Timothy was content being Paul's assistant. And it's in that humble service that Timothy's character shone brightest. As a church plant, God is looking for people like Timothy, servants whose character has been tested, servants who's been proven to be reliable. Now, you don't need decades and decades of ministry experience to have that proven character. Maybe your character has been proven when you've shown up to serve, even when you didn't feel appreciated. Maybe it was proven when you chose forgiveness over bitterness in a difficult relationship. Maybe it's even being proven right now as you step out in faith to help start a new work, a new potential church. But the beautiful truth in all this is this: God uses every single season of testing to prepare us for even greater kingdom responsibility. You see, what matters, it's not perfection. What matters is faithfulness through the process. So our third and final quality is this: the church needs servants willing to be sent. Looking at verse 23 and 24. Therefore, I hope to send him immediately as soon as I see how things go with me. And I trust in the Lord that I myself also will be coming shortly. Now, Paul, he kind of makes this sound casual, doesn't he? I hope to send him immediately. But think about what Paul is actually asking Timothy to do. Excuse me. This isn't a quick trip across town that Paul is sending Timothy on. Now, this is a 800-mile journey from Rome to Philippi. No highways, no planes. This involved dangerous, hard travel by land and sea. And once Paul delivered the news, he'd have to turn around and make that same dangerous journey back. You see, that's 1,600 miles of hard, risky travel. And notice Timothy's response. We don't hear any complaints. We don't hear any negotiations. We don't hear him say, you know, this is really tough. I'm going to need extra pay, some hazard pay. No, Timothy was sitting on ready to go. Paul says go, and Timothy says, basically, when do I leave? And here's what strikes me most. Timothy was willing to be sent at Paul's discretion, no matter what, depending on Paul's circumstances. He had no personal agenda, no asking Paul, what's in it for me? No demands about where he'd serve, no demands on when or the timing that he'd serve. He was completely flexible, available, and adaptable to the needs of the ministry. You see, this is exactly what a church plant needs. See, when you're starting from scratch like we are, you don't have the luxury of established programs and comfortable roles. What the church plant needs is somebody that was ready to say, whatever needs to be done, I'm willing. You need servants who will set up chairs one week, help with children's ministry the next, then drive across town to visit a struggling family member the week after that. In an established church, you might say, you know, that's really not me. That's not my ministry, or I don't really feel called to that area. But Timothy embodied what Jesus meant when he said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. You see, Timothy was willing to go wherever the gospel needed him to go. He was ready to do whatever the gospel needed him to do. You see, as we launch this new work together, God needs servants who are willing to be sent. Maybe not overseas to the missions field, but right here in our community, right here in Hickory, is a mission field. Servants willing to take on roles they've never done before. Willing to have their plans changed when ministry needs arise. Willing to serve behind the scenes without recognition. You see, the question isn't whether you're willing to serve God in your ideal circumstances. The question is, are you willing to be sent whenever he leads, when he leads in this church, whatever ministry calls, however uncomfortable it might feel? When God calls, will your response be like Timothy's? Ready, available, and willing to go. Well, Timothy is a remarkable example of gospel-centered service. But as wonderful as Timothy was, of course, he is not our ultimate model. He ultimately points us to someone infinitely greater. You see, Jesus is the true and better Timothy. Where Timothy showed genuine concern for others, Jesus demonstrated infinite compassion. Timothy cared for the Philippians from 800 miles away, but Jesus left the glory of heaven to walk among us, to know our struggles firsthand, to weep with those who weep. Where Timothy had proven character through a decade of tested ministry, Jesus was tested in every way we are, yet remained without sin. Timothy's character was refined through trials, but Jesus' character was perfect from eternity past. Jesus endured the ultimate test, the cross itself, and he emerged victorious. Where Timothy was willing to be sent on a dangerous 1,600-mile journey for the sake of the gospel, Jesus was sent from the highest heaven to the lowest earth. He didn't just travel across the Mediterranean. He traversed the infinite distance between deity and humanity. Timothy was willing to risk his life for ministry. Jesus willingly gave his life as a ransom for many. You see, this is the heart of Philippians chapter 2. Paul holds up Timothy as a great example, but Timothy himself would point us to Christ, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God as a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. And here, beloved, is the beautiful truth. We don't serve like Timothy. We don't try to be like Timothy and serve in a church through just sheer willpower or by just trying and trying and trying harder. We serve like Timothy because Christ first served us. His genuine concern, his proven character, his willingness to be sent. See, these flow into our hearts and they transform us from the inside out. Let us pray.